relax, talk about the campaign now. It's halfway through, and just about you and how you feel about it.
Here we are, just about halfway.
And so it's been quite a while since I talked to you. That first trip to Seattle.
That's right. You were on the first, and you got to take a couple of days off up in Rhode Island, see?
Woo! He notices, huh? Let's
see
if the tape works now.
It's
been quite a while since I talked to you. Okay, I'm scared to death by these mechanical things, but if I
take notes, then I can't concentrate. I don't blame you.
So
it
drives me crazy. Okay, I'm going to...
That was a good barbecue.
Yeah.
Food was good.
So do you have any general impressions about how it's... what it's like to run for vice president? Is it what you expected, or...?
In many respects, what I expected. It's there are more demands made by the press, and I don't say that properly. I mean, you're running for a rather high office, and you are accountable for what you say or what you don't say or what you're about to say. But as far as the traveling, it's not a great deal more than I did when I was chairman of the party, because I always would travel at night, come back, so I wouldn't miss many votes. And but we've been, I think we've got it pretty well together now. It takes a while to get your staff. There's still areas that I think are a little weak, but overall, I think it's pretty good.
What are you working on?
I think the area, the toughest area is speech writing and research, and knowing what to say and where to say it, and also knowing when you're going into an area, it just ought to be automatic. Every issue, every person you should or shouldn't know, it's really that's the most difficult job, is stepping off that airplane and Grand Forks or San Diego, and make certain that you're prepared for San Diego and not Grand Forks. Nothing more distressing to the local people to get off and you barely know where you are. I think you should know a little about the area and the people and maybe some of the issues, even though they're local issues.
Have you felt sort of unprepared in a lot of places?
Oh, not many, but I mean, it's the hardest thing to do, because you've got to get somebody on the phone, you've got to talk to the local people, you've got to make certain you're talking to the right local people, or you get a different slant. I just like to be prepared. I don't like to be unprepared. I'm very uptight if I'm not prepared. And then if someone's giving me the information and I blow it, then that's my fault. But if I don't have it and blow it, that's someone else's fault.
I hear you can be pretty tough to work for, that you don't always accept that you rarely accept the speeches that are written for you, and that you haven't, been too satisfied.
Speeches are hard to write. It's easy to take a pencil, as someone could do it in your, after you write a great story and somebody's like this. But if you're not comfortable with a speech, unless you just have to give it to make some point, I just won't give it if it doesn't sound like me. I don't like speeches with a lot of statistics, and I don't like speeches that are supposed to be funny and aren't funny. And I don't like a paragraph when you could say it in a sentence, and some writers are good at pages, but I'm not a speech writer, so I'm probably not a fair critic, but I do a lot of penciling on speeches, and they're always too long. And I find myself talking too long.
You haven't really done that much original speech making. After there was Seattle, and then there was Iowa, but in the last 3 weeks, it's been pretty much the same speech over and over. Has
know, and I think we're letting our surveys influence what we say, as they should. You know, take them and pay for them and raise. You ask certain questions and get back certain responses that are, in other words, defense is one that President Ford is very strong and Carter is very weak. And so you hit your strong points, and I guess you end up saying the same thing. But everyone I talk with says, you know, you're going to get tired of it, you're going to be bored with it yourself. But you're going to have to get up there and say it, because you've got to say it and say it and say it. So I think essentially that's about what you do. But if you had a good, innovative researcher and speechwriter who just devoted full time to saying it a little differently each time, or maybe finding some new way to articulate it that really sort of reaches out and grabs the audience. So we try to do that. We've got some good speech writers, don't misunderstand me. We've got a good research department. We're moving around so quickly it's hard for them to keep up, too.
Mm-hmm. But pretty much you sort of give the standard stump speech in which you sort of touch on the 5 to 7 billion thing, you attack Carter for that, and you attack the Democratic platform, then you go on to amnesty, and then you mention grain embargoes, and then you the jokes, and it's pretty much the...
Right.
It kind of skims the surface, don't you think?
Right. But I don't know what else you can do when you're moving around 6 or 7 places a day. And, you know, I don't think any of us, whether it's Carter, Mondale, Ford, Dole, or I haven't found anyone yet. Reagan does a good job. And there are others. Even Hubert Humphrey doesn't do a good job on prepared texts. Particularly when you really haven't had time to almost know what's coming up as you turn the page. You know, there's no need to have a new speech at each stop. I'm in the midst of that, but I think you have to, if you're going to the Midwest to California, you may have some changes. You may, in Southern California, really push defense because you've got so many defense plants and defense-related activities. If you're out in the Midwest, you obviously talk about agriculture.
Do you think we'll be pretty much seeing this same stump speech from now on?
It depends on the survey information. And I'm certain Carter shows the same thing, that he's strong talking about unemployment, tax reform. And then he says, I think we all say about the same thing. Different thing, but the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he wouldn't be comfortable giving my speech, and I wouldn't be comfortable giving his.
What do you like most and what do you like least about the campaigning, this kind of national campaigning so far?
What I like most... can't think of it.
Can't think of anything you like.
like
it's been that gruesome.
They're just all so good.
We're all so bad.
No, I don't know. I don't dislike any of it, but I think probably... just moving into some new area where you feel comfortable with, like campaigning in the Midwest is fairly easy for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I like to give speeches like on Friday evening with when you know you have a receptive audience, you can just restrain yourself and not talk over 30 minutes. Take about 10 minutes to loosen up the audience and make your points and sit down. And just meeting a lot of people, I like going around the room and things of that kind. But it is—it's work. You know, the whole thing is a lot of work. And as far as what I liked least, I guess it's just—it's not the preparation, but just making certain that I've got it all together. you know, sort of the last minute things that happen in any campaign. You can't avoid it. Something happens and you're not quite certain when you step into the lion's den, press conference or whatever. But those are kind of, it's not that I dislike it, but you have an uneasy feeling sometimes. Mm-hmm. You're not overconfident.
How about the press? How's it been, this campaign? How do you feel about it?
Well, it's been different. You know, I've never had any exposure of that kind except in the Senate. That's been limited. When I was chairman of the party and was probably more active on the Senate floor there for a couple of years, you know, we had to go up to the TV gallery or up to the writing press area infrequently. But normally when you get off the plane as chairman of the party, you'd have the local media and a few questions. So I think it's different. I don't have any quarrel with it. I think sometimes the press, everyone's looking for a story, and it's not any story if Reagan's out working for Ford, Conley's working for Ford, and I'm working for Ford. The story is if you can make it appear that Reagan is not working for Ford and Conley's not working for Ford, or you can have Dole and Rockefeller traveling New York and one saying, I'm running on the platform, and the other saying, well, the platform doesn't mean anything. You know, I understand all that, but it's, I think sometimes it doesn't come out the way I'd write it, of course.
How do you feel you've been sort of treated? How has your coverage been?
I haven't checked as far as inches or minutes, but content I think's fairly good.
Why do you then take out after the Times and the Post? I mean, it's come up repeatedly in the campaign. And CBS, I think, too. Those three sort of seem like they're buzzwords.
Oh, I think they've been a little unfair in the Gulf thing. New York Times had a man in Kansas ever since I was nominated. Called the Democrat Attorney General to see if he had any dirt on Bob Dole. And, I guess you have to expect that, but and the Times, I don't know Tom Wicker or Scotty Resnick, they're probably good fellows. They were zapping me from the minute I was named. They don't even know me. They never even extended me the courtesy of talking about what I feel. And it seems so impersonal that they've already got their mind made up. I'm just a target before I even know what the target is. And I assume the Post somewhat the same.
But, that's an interesting thing you say about them not knowing you and how impersonal it is. I mean, I feel that way covering this campaign. I mean, I've been waiting a month to get be able to sit down with you for an hour, you know, and that's what I asked for. I didn't want, 10 minutes in the plane, because
right.
I didn't feel that would be any way that I could sit down and talk to you or get to know you at all. And yet here I am, responsible for covering you for the Washington Post and all the other newspapers that are on our
right.
service. And it's a very kind of a frustrating thing. We'd like to, but it's the sort of the mechanics of it are very difficult to work out.
Yeah, well, I think once we do the initial one, then we could do the smaller ones on the plane. It's pretty hard to get an hour on an airplane, you know.
I know, yeah.
We got to get a half hour. We got to get on the airplane. But I don't have any real core. I mean, I think people have a right, if that's their editorial policy. But as long as they treat every one of us the same, you know, if I'm scrutinized. Mondale is scrutinized as carefully as I am by the same papers, that's fine, but I know that's not happening. You know, it's a double standard. And that's the way the Post operates, and that's the way the Times operates, and that's the way Mr. Shackney at CBS operates. So, you know, that's their problem. As long as we're all under the same microscope, you know, I'm not going to complain about it. I don't want to be singled out for special preferential mistreatment.
You mean you think there's something like the Gulf thing that we could have been looking into with Mondale?
I got all kinds of propaganda fed to me, but I'm not advocating that either. I'm just saying we sat down with, I have another people my staff, Mr. Pincus, and he went over all my records. And I know he's not satisfied. He doesn't want to be satisfied. He's not going to be satisfied until he dredges up something. Then he won't be satisfied. There's nothing there. But I'm just a commodity to him. I'm a means for him to advance somehow. And it's pretty cruel.
It's a very impersonal relationship. I mean, you use us and we use you, and the whole thing is we are all commodities.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I don't think we use the press. I haven't had that feeling.
Well, except, I mean, your media events and the whole campaign is designed.
Oh, yeah, that.
I mean, that's what I'm talking about.
But, you know, when you get up at 6 in the morning, you're all day on the campaign trail, and you read something the next day or see something on the news, just one little part of the day, but it's sort of a negative thing, so that's the headline. I never have, maybe that's the way it is, but I think Billy Carter and the others suffer somewhat the same. I'm not saying I've been singled out for that, but maybe people like to read that 99 things went right in the campaign, but one went wrong, so we're going to write that the staff is disorganized and somebody was left behind in Boston or somewhere. So what? So they're left behind, you know. Big deal.
We're going to
fly off of that.
That would be
a mistake.
I didn't write that, by the way.
No, I'm just saying that.
I was complaining about it, but I didn't write it. You were talking about, you know, not being known and the impersonality of the campaign. If you were a journalist and you had to write about Bob Dole as a person, what would you say? How would you describe him?
I don't know. I think you have to have, you know, if I had some prejudice to start with, I'd write a Wicker column or a Reston column or a post editorial like Dole, big question mark. And I didn't read it, so I don't know what they said, but I figured it was bad. And maybe I had that coming from the Post because I made a rather nasty speech about them. But even then I made Colson give me facts before I would give the speech and took a lot of it out. So I think there's a little difference there. But I think if you're really trying to write a story on the person, it's one thing, but if you have a prejudice before you start, then you of course obviously going to slant it that way, either good or bad. So I think it depends on how you approach the thing. If you approach it from a neutral position, and then whether it's going to be a profile type or whether it's going to be a political type story, I think it depends on really what kind of thing you're looking for.
Well, say we are, I mean, I don't feel I have any bias.
Yeah.
As far as you're concerned, I wasn't around when you made those criticisms of the Post, and I don't really care.
They weren't too bad.
Say we're starting from a neutral standpoint. I mean,
right.
How would you describe yourself as a person? What are your
in a political
qualities
way
or in a personal way, what are your best and worst qualities? I mean, if you're talking about, oh, so-and-so, what's he like when you were describing him, how would you describe yourself?
I don't know. I've never tried to do that. I think in a sort of an impersonal sense that I'm straightforward, I'm candid, maybe to a fault, but as far as relationship with the press is concerned, I think beyond that, I work hard and I think normal ambition and lots of drive, and I think that I'm fairly alert and rather quick at times.
good sense of humor that you didn't mention that.
Well, that's you know, all these are measurements other people take. You know, they might not. I think I have a sense of humor. But
where does it come from?
I don't know. My father always had a sense of humor. I don't like to tell jokes in a sense, but I think it's the sort of the one-liner where they are going into a meeting and just observing the people and picking up a little local thing and, you know, playing with that. But and I think a lot of it came from the days in the hospital. They used to move me around from place to place to sort of keep morale up, you know.
Among the other patients.
Yeah. I had a lot of problems. Mine were nothing compared to others who were just totally paralyzed from the waist down and had no valve on or control or bladder. And I was in the hospital with Senator Hart and Senator Inouye. We were all in the same hospital.
Is that right? I didn't know that.
Senator Hart was very nice. He used to bring us his wife owned the Briggs family owned the Detroit Tigers, and he used to bring in ball tickets. And of course, I always told Danny and Bill Hart they got bad blood. They turned out to be Democrats. Yeah, we were all there together. And Phil Hart was ambulatory, and he was very. Of course, that was before any of us were interested in politics. Very nice, it still is very nice, and of course very sick right now too.
Do you think of yourself, have you thought at all about being president? Is that something you...
If the polls get any closer, I might start thinking about it. Maybe 30 points behind.
As you lie in bed at night?
No, I haven't.
I mean, but you have to think about that. I mean, you could be... A month from now, the election could happen, and on November 3rd, something could happen, and you could be president.
Yeah.
How does that strike you?
I don't know. I just, you know, I feel I could do it, but beyond that, I haven't made any, even really thought about it. I mean, I think it gets wrapped up in the campaign. If I were Mondale, I might think a little more of it, because he's ahead, and we're behind. But it doesn't frighten me, but, you know, I'm not afraid of it. I've been around enough to think I know what to do.
That's a very...
Yeah, but
I mean, that's a very kind of an awesome thing to say, to think that you could be the... You know, run a country of 200
million. All right, but I keep thinking, you know, there are four of us in this race, and I'm probably running fourth. I don't get too worried.
No, you're being too self-effacing. I think that's a real possibility, and that's an amazing thing if you're confronting it at all or thinking about it at all.
I guess the thought does cross my mind when people keep saying you're going to be our next. But I always say no, we're working on that or something. You follow us around, the people in the crowd, you know, they want to say the right thing, and they want me to sign my name as vice president, which I refuse to do. You know, that's bad luck. Besides, it takes a long time, but it is bad luck. So I really haven't. Elizabeth asked me that a time or two. You know, this could really happen. I said, well. We're not certain that. I've always been. Well, I like to get things in the sack first, you know. I mean, I like to get it tied down before I.
Yeah, but you don't want to. I mean, you want to prepare yourself mentally for it, don't you?
Oh, right. Well, I'm doing that. I think, you know, something takes care of that subconscious.
I'm not thinking so much about vice president because, as you say, I mean, I think of that as a heavy lifting and not to steal a line.
That's
but,
sack.
But I'm thinking about president. Yeah. I mean, that's a very, not just, you know, well, as guess, it might happen in 77, but as it could happen in 1980 or...
Right. I think I'd probably think about, you know, if say we're President Ford's elected, then I'd probably concentrate more on that, looking in 1980, because whatever happened, you know, if we're elected, I would be in a better spot than many others to seek the office in 1980.
Had you ever thought of running for president when you were in the Senate before all this, before this year?
No, well, not really. I can't say that I hadn't thought of being on the ticket in 76. Because of it, and we'd gone through Watergate, and I'd really had the big burden of that to carry in my 74 election, and we did win, though, with any landslide we won, which is remarkable in itself, because everything, every Nixon thing they could think of was thrown at me in the campaign, and so, and you know, you think of those things, a possibility.
Would you like to be president? I mean, is that something that fires you up, that inspires you, that you think about, that you desire?
Oh, I don't know that I've ever thought of it that way. I think I've thought of it more the practical way. Could I really do it? And I've watched, I've watched, I guess, Rockefeller and Humphrey and Nixon, and I didn't have much contact with Johnson or Kennedy, knew them, and very little, and Ford, and I just sort of assured myself that, you know, they're all very capable in different ways, and all have their faults. But I guess you sort of say, well, I think I can do it to yourself without any measurements of the others. But I've never really spent a lot of time worrying about it.
Most men, though, who have made president are men who've really had terrific ambition for that. That they've, you know, thought about it and they've run unsuccessfully a couple of times or once, or the, you know, that they've had this kind of burning ambition to be number one. And that, is that not something that's part of you?
Well, I think I want to achieve. I want to be an achiever, but if you look at it on the practical side, see, all the clamor's been on the Democratic side because we've occupied the White House, and it just appeared to me that there wasn't going to be any opportunity. We ought to just busy ourselves being a good senator, because I didn't think I'd be on a Ford ticket, and whoever was on that ticket, if they won, would have the leg up for 1980. Suddenly it's all changed, so I really hadn't.
So are you sort of a reluctant candidate in a way?
I think I could be persuaded.
Are you a bashful candidate? But you're not.
I guess I'm preoccupied now with winning. I think we really have a chance to win. It's going to be close, but I think the movement's in the right direction. I really haven't.
How worried are you?
About losing? I don't know. I think it's going to be. I don't think anyone's going to have it sacked up before November 2nd. I think if we keep working, and that may be a counterproductive, because I have the feeling that, you know, like today, there's a big Mexican-American parade that we're not in. Yesterday, there's a big L.A. fair, and I know you don't really change any minds, or just seem like you ought to be doing something. You're sort of driven to do something. So I'm not worried. I'm just going to do everything I can. I'm worried that I'm not maybe doing enough. And, but, you know, you've got a staff to worry about, too. They go just as fast as I do, and you have to take be nice to the media every 39
well,
days.
Mr. I'll probably get another one before that. Mr. Conway thinks you're doing too much, though, I guess.
Well, I don't know what he said to the press, but he was very complimentary. He had some reports on the Friday night meeting, and